John chapter 14, and we've come to verse 7. We were at verse 1 through 6, that great passage this morning, and we'll start our reading in verse 7 and read down to verse 15 together. The Bible says in John 14:7, "If ye," Jesus speaking, "if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." I'm sure that was a shock. We have seen him? Really? We've seen the Father? No man has seen God, right? Moses was wanting to see him. And Jesus just told his disciples, "You've seen the Father." Well, here comes more questions. Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments." Did you drop down to verse 21? "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." Now, I want to say tonight that I think what I've got out of these verses that I've read, three things. If you love Jesus Christ, there are three things that will be true in your life. I think that everybody that says they love the Lord, you know, love is a very cheap word anymore. It's used in wrong connotations. It's used in connotations of sin and lust and things that aren't really committed to that heart of another individual. But God's love is real, and I hope you love the Lord. But if you love the Lord, there are three things going to be true about you. And you can be saved. I really believe this. You can be saved and not love the Lord. Because in this very text, you know, look at verse 15. Jesus says to his disciples, "If ye love me." You see that? I think that's a big if. I don't think he assumed that they loved him. And I think sometimes people, maybe they have a relationship with the Lord, but they don't really love him like they should, and just like other relationships that people have. But these things that the Lord is saying really have provoked Philip to say something, and he's going to further embellish this. I'm overwhelmed at how many disciples are talking here. So, John in chapter 13 is asking a question of the Lord. Simon Peter is asking a question of the Lord. Thomas in verse 5 of chapter 14 is asking a question of the Lord. Philip chimes in verse 8. And then, of course, down in verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, the other disciple with that name, asks, they're all interacting with Jesus. They're getting to know him. They're hearing his words here, asking questions and trying to get some help from him. And the Lord says, first of all, "I think if you love me, that you'll get to know me." Now watch these verses. Verse 7. Jesus says, "If ye had known me." Now, he's talking to his disciples. And I think his question is, you know, why do you guys still not know me? I mean, they know his name. They walk with him. They know how he prays. They know his character. They know his word. But they really don't know him very well. And so he says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. He's blowing their mind. You know, you guys, hey, you guys are a privileged group of people. You actually seen the Father. And Philip says unto him, verse number 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. I don't know what you're talking about. I've already seen him. I'd like to see him. Matter of fact, Jesus, if you just show me the Father, that'll be enough for me. Do you see that? Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You know what a good question is? What would suffice you? What would be enough for you? You know, I think you ought to ask that question. So many people think, if I just had this, or this just happened in my life, it would be enough. And then somewhere they reach that, and they find out it wasn't enough. Philip says, if you'll show God to me, that'll be enough. That's a pretty good statement. But the problem is, he had already seen God and he didn't know it. His knowledge was deficient. And so he said, Lord, if you'd just show us the Father, that'll be enough for me. And I'll know everything I need to know. Look at verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now, wait a minute. So long time. Now, how long had he been with Philip? Can somebody tell me? It's not a trick question. Huh? 3.5 years. Is that very long? But evidently, the Lord thought it was long enough for Philip to have gotten to know him. And let me ask you a question. How long have you been saved? How long have you had a Bible? You know what I really believe? I believe that we don't know God because we're not interested in God. You know, whatever you're really interested in and whatever you really love, you know, if you have a passion for something, you're going to find out everything about it. And I'm not going to pick on everybody's hobbies here tonight, but I guarantee you there are some things that you know very well that you purposefully got to know well, and you didn't learn it in school. You didn't learn in school that the master's finished today. Y'all know that happened, right? Yeah, who won? How do you know that? How do you know that? Was it a big deal that Woods won the Masters? Was that a big deal? How do you know it was a big deal? Evidently, you know something about golf if you know that was a big deal. Now, you didn't go to class. You didn't grow up in school and they're telling you about golf. You know why people like golf? It's not a sin to like golf. If you love golf, you'll find out all about that.
That's right.
Who's got a hip problem in Alabama besides Brother John? Who's got a hip problem? Saban. How do you know that? You don't live in Tuscaloosa. Why do we know things that we know? Brother Gary didn't know about that because he don't love Alabama, and he sure don't love Saban, so what does he care? Right? Look. You know whatever you're interested in. Some of you ladies, you know, you could tell me all about Louis Vuitton stuff. I don't know if it's a saddlebag or a shoe or, I don't know. Now, if you ask me, you know what, I know something about a gold trumpeter suit. Which is Hart, Schaffner, and March top line. Why do I know that? I'm interested in it. You ladies know all these different things. You know the base and the different makeups and the oil content and all that stuff. You know all that? Look, whatever you're in love with, that's what you know. And you usually talk about it, except Brother Bill can't talk about what he loves because it's secret. He works for the government, so he can't talk about it. But he loves it. He wants it. You can tell you, he just about told me the secrets of the world. No, he loves it, but he can't talk about it. But man, he's interested in it. He said before, I'd go to work if they didn't even pay me. Did you say that? Brother Bill told me that. You know why? He loves his job. Now let me ask you a question. Why don't people know God any more than they do? Just not interested. Just not that into it. You know, there are people that get into politics and they can tell you everybody that's running for dog catcher and all that. Okay, fine, whatever. There's some people that don't care. They could care less who is the president and who's the running for Senate and who's the governor. They don't care. You know why? They're not interested in it. And I tell you, you can go through life and not be interested in politics and not be interested in sports and not be interested in hobbies and not be interested in jobs and not be interested in handbags and shoes and houses and cars, but you can't afford to go through life and not be interested in God.
Amen.
And if you don't love Him, it's just because you don't want to love Him. And if you don't know Him, it's because your heart's not interested. He looks at Philip, he says, how long have I been? I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. There are some of you, you've been saved a whole lot longer than 3.5 years, but you don't know the Lord any better than the day you trusted Christ as your Savior. I know my wife. I know my wife a lot better than you do. Yeah. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. I know all of her buttons. Right. Come on now, all of you have buttons. We just don't all know what they are until we push them. But I know all that. You know why I know all that? You say, well, you're interested. I'm not interested in all that stuff. Some of those buttons I'm not too interested in. Right? Do you know why I know all that about her? Because I love her. Now, do you know what God likes? You can look at some people that say they're saved, and you can look at their lives. You know they don't know a thing about God. They may be saved, but they don't know God because they don't know what God likes. They don't know what God dislikes. And they don't. You know God's got some buttons too. And if you would get to know Him, you would know that. And here He looks at His own disciple and He says, have I been so long time with you and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Keep reading, verse 9. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I believe that really blew their minds. When He looked at him, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. Why? Because in Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, the Bible says. He was God in the flesh. And He goes on to say in verse 10 that the Father was in Him. And He was in the Father. And what He spoke was what the Father was speaking. And what He did is what the Father was doing. If you want to know anything about God, look at Jesus. That's you've seen Him. The Bible says no man hath seen God at any time, but the fullness of God dwells in Jesus so that you can get to know God. God is a spirit. And yet Jesus Christ, veiled in human flesh, came to be one of us so we could get to know who God was. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Do you know Him? He goes on to say, verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He says, you know, Philip, you ought to be so impressed with me that you want to get to know me. And you ought, you know, the greater things someone does, you think they'd be more impressed and their heart would be engendered to grab on and love that person. How could you not love Jesus Christ? He's seen me, has seen the Father. He is that the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6, that's Jesus Christ. That's that Word that was with God and was God. Philip, do you not love me enough to get to know me? Remember his statement now. Look at verse 8 again. Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Let me ask you a question. Why was he not already sufficed with Jesus Christ? Why did Philip need to see anything else? Because he didn't know Jesus like he should have known Jesus. He didn't have a close enough relationship with him. And his life had not been filled with Christ like it should. Or he wouldn't have needed to ask to see the Father. And then it sufficeth us. That word suffice is found twice in the New Testament. Here and in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says the time past of our life should have sufficed us. When we wrought the will of the Gentiles. In other words, you know, all that old sinning that you used to do, that should have been enough for you. That should be up to here. And you should not, it should have been enough, all the sinning that you did before you got saved, that you ought not be interested in it. But the other word suffice is showing the desire of our heart. What does it take to satisfy you? The word suffice, that's like full. You know, all of, how many of you got full when you ate this afternoon? Yeah, that's great. You just ate, and you said, man, I'm sufficed. I don't need any more. Let me ask you a question. How much more does God have to do for you for it to be enough for you? For you to say to God, I'm full. That's why I love being around Brother Hughes, you know, and he's been in heaven for a while now. And man, I miss Brother Earl. That man walked with God and he knew God. And I like to be around him. And I tell you what, God was just enough for him. He didn't need any more blessings. He didn't even need any more prayers answered. He would talk to me and say, you know, if God never answers another prayer, he's just been enough for me. What a filled soul. What a full soul. Why? Because he got to know the Lord enough to where that was enough for him. And he would say, why don't you just ask God for something hard? Because he's just been so good to you. He's been enough for you. Man, I just don't think we know the Lord very well. In Ruth, that word suffice is used again in Ruth chapter 2. Here's this lady that comes from a Gentile land that didn't know God, and she wants to know the true God, and she wants to know the people of God, and she goes back with her mother-in-law, and you know the story of Ruth. And the Bible says that she goes out to work in Boaz's field. And Boaz, the wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in the lineage of David there, the grandparents, future of, with Boaz and Ruth. And Ruth gleans in the field of Boaz. And the Bible says that she sat at his table and he reached her the corn and gave it to her. And she ate and ate because she's a poor woman. And she ate and ate until the Bible says she was sufficed. In other words, she found all that she needed when she got to know Boaz. When she didn't know Boaz, you know, the testimony of Naomi when they left Moab is they went out empty. But when she got to know Boaz, she got full. Amen. The testimony when they left Moab, she left her husband dead in the ground. But when she came back, she got more than she ever dreamed of with Boaz. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God's fulfills all the desires of our hearts. He will suffice us. But you'll never know that if you don't get to know Him. Ruth wanted to know Him. She went in His field and worked for Him. She sat at His table and ate with Him. She even laid down at His feet. She became His wife. She wanted to get to know Him, and her life was sufficed. Do you love Jesus? If you love the Lord, why wouldn't you want to get to know Him anymore? The Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said, man, every day I just want to know the Lord better. How about this? What if we spent some time with the Lord talking to Him and say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry I don't love you enough to get to know you any better. You know, when young people fall in love, they can't get to know enough about each other. They want to know the perfume that's worn, their favorite colors, and they want to know all those little details that nobody cares about. But they care about, you know why? Because their heart is going after somebody. Let me ask you, why isn't your heart after Jesus like that? Why don't you want to know more about Jesus? You say, well, I just don't know why I don't know anything about God. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't have a good relationship with the Lord. You know why you don't? Because you don't love Him like you should. You know, but you know a bunch of other stuff. If you love me, Philip, I think you ought to get to want to know me. Want to get to know me, Philip. Because you don't know me. You don't know me. I've walked with you 3.5 years, but you don't know me. More about Jesus would I know. John chapter 14, I think there's a second thing here. If you love Jesus, I think you want to get to know Him. If you love Jesus, look at verse 12. The Bible says, verily, verily, Jesus speaking, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now don't quit reading. I know there in the study Bible there's a little pause there, but I want you to keep reading because I think the context continues. He says in verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I would say this, do you love the Lord enough to want to do something for Him? You know, when He speaks to His disciples, He says, you know, I've done a lot of great works. You can do greater works. You know what? You'll never want to do greater works if you don't love Him. You know what makes us want to do something for other people? We love them. And you know what the basis of the prayer is? He says, greater works than what I've done, you'll do because I go to my Father. And then He says, hey, ask in my name. Pray. You know what our prayers are about usually? Listen now. Don't take that out of context. A lot of times we read those promises of prayer and we say, hey, Jesus said if we'd ask anything in His name, He'd do it. The context is wanting to do greater works for Him. He's going to the Father to give us the power and the ability to do something for Him. So we go to the Father and say, Father, I need Your help. I need Your power. I need Your wisdom because I want to do something for Jesus because He's done so much for me and I love Him. I love Him. You know why people don't serve the Lord? They don't love Him. And sometimes we get lazy in our works because somewhere down the road we maybe don't love Him like we should. Boy, I remember. I remember when I was not gray and I had a lot more spunk. And I used to just go to God and say, God, man, I want to do this. Help me. And you know what? The older I get, you know what I find myself? I want to go lay down. Right? Do you know what will spur our hearts in wanting to do some greater works for God? Just because you love Him so much. Do you know why young people don't do things for their parents? Their heart's not filled with love for their parents. That's just the truth. Have you ever met a boy whose father was just everything to them? And that boy would just go to the ends of the world to try to please that dad. Try to climb the mountain, you know. Do things they couldn't even do for daddy. It's a heart issue. You know why you don't have dreams about doing some great work for God? Because you don't love God. Jesus told these disciples they could do greater works than he did. Let me ask you a question. How can you do greater works than Jesus? I'll show you how. These apostles are going to do greater works than Jesus. You know, all of Jesus' works were confined to one little place in the nation of Israel. I mean, if you go to Israel, and I was just over there, it's not a very great country. It's not, you can drive it in a day easy. But you know what these men did? They went into all the world. They had a greater outreach than what the works of Jesus had done. But not only that, do you know they reached more people than Jesus did? Right. How many were left at the foot of the cross? How many were in the upper room? After you think after the resurrection, everybody would have been there, right? No. 120. You don't know how big Jesus' church was when he went back to heaven after showing himself alive. Here's my question. The Bible says he showed himself alive to 500 people at one time. Where in the world were all those stinking people?
Right. Yeah.
Why is there just 120 of them praying together? Jesus goes back to heaven. There's 120 there. That's not a real big church. We probably got more than that here tonight. And you know what these apostles are going to do? Poor old Peter, he'll stand up and preach. And thousands of people get saved. And Acts starts rolling and tens of thousands of people are getting saved. I'd say that's greater works. And not only that, it's one thing for Jesus Christ to do a great work to touch a blind man's eye. But I tell you what, these apostles, they're doing a greater work. They're not doing a physical work. They're doing a spiritual work in the hearts of people. I mean, there are priests getting saved. There are Jews getting saved. I mean, people's like Saul of Tarsus. I mean, you talk about some great spiritual conversion that you thought were impossible. People in Caesar's own household getting saved. What a great spiritual work. I think somebody getting eternal life is a much greater work than somebody walking on the water. Right? Not taking anything away from the works of Jesus. But Jesus said this, I'm going to go to the Father so you can do greater works. And the only reason you wouldn't want to do them is because you just don't love me and you don't care. Matter of fact, who's really going to be doing all those works anyway? Look back at that verse he said in John 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, what does that say? Will I do? I love that. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Look at verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You say, well, preacher, I thought it's their greater works. Yeah, but he's the one doing the work through them. You know, whatever we do for God, it's not us. We're not the ones doing it. It's God doing it through us. It's the power of his Spirit working through us. It's the new man performing those works that bring glory to God. Now, my question is, why don't I love Jesus enough to do greater works than the ones I'm doing now? Their works were greater works in time. Jesus just did these works for 3.5 years. They did them for a lifetime. How about this? Do you love Jesus enough just to do something greater than what you're doing right now? What if we read it in that context? Greater works than these shall he do because I go unto my Father. Don't you want to do something greater for the Lord? We live in a day of apathy. If anybody accomplishes anything for the Lord, they say, all right, I'm finished. Greater works. He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You need to write 1 John 5, 14 alongside of that, though. 1 John 5, 14, because people have taken that out of context. You just go ask anything you want to in his name and see if it happens. You know what? There are people right here in this building. You've asked God for a lot of things in His name and it hadn't happened. Was there something wrong with the verse? No. But you have to read the Bible with the Bible. You can't just pick out one little thing in the Bible. The Bible is one book. Jesus says, you'll ask anything in my name, I will do it. Yes, in 1 John, the same guy that was used by the Holy Spirit to write that verse in John 14, wrote 1 John 5:14. It says this, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. God's not going to do anything. Look, God loves you too much to do something for you that you ask if it's not in His will. And there's the rub, you see. So many things that I ask, I'm not asking for there to be greater works that Jesus Christ would be glorified, but I'm asking things to consume them upon my own lust. The whole context of this asking the Father in the name of Jesus is so we can do something more for the one that we love, that He might be glorified more. And sometimes that might not be a good thing. That might be a bad thing you've got to go through to bring Him glory. Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him enough to get to know Him? Do you love Him enough to pray in His name that you can do greater works? I didn't say just go out there and just try to do some great thing for God. I mean, look, I tell you what, it's a big challenging thing, and I would never want to discourage anybody. It is a big challenging thing to win Germans to the Lord. I've been to Germany several times. That is a big challenging thing. And He's going to have God to do that. He's going to have to depend upon God to do it. You know what He's going to have to do? He's going to have to pray to God, because you just can't go out there and say, all right, I'm going to do something for God. I know how that is, man. I know how it is, amen, to try to chop down a tree with a dull axe. You don't get, I mean, you put a lot of energy into it, but ain't much happening. I'm just going to do this. No, you better go to the Father and ask in Jesus' name. Because if He's not doing it through you, it's not going to get done anyway. That's the context of the praying. Oh, Father, help me. I love the Lord and I just want to do something for Him. Something greater. We're so satisfied with our little bit we do. Hurriedly, I want to give you the last thing. He said in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that keepeth my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John continues this discourse about loving the Lord and abiding in the Lord in his epistle in 1 John. He makes much of this. He repeats this. This never got out of John's mind. When Jesus said this to him in John 14, it never got out of his mind. You know why? Because he loved Jesus. John loved Jesus. And when Jesus looked at them and said, if you love me, if any man love me, he'll keep my commandments. John says, I'm going to do whatever he says. And when he writes that epistle, he writes about love. And when John writes about love, it's not about some emotion. It's not about some feeling. When John writes about love, he writes about, listen, 2 John 6, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. What is love? This is love, that we walk after His commandments. If we love Jesus Christ, we'll get to know Him. If we love Jesus Christ, we'll want to do something greater for Him. If we love Jesus Christ, we will do His commandments. We will do what He says. Now listen, I'm going to help you. You can do His commandments and not love Him. But you cannot love Jesus Christ and not do His commandments. You can go through the Bible and say, all right, I did that one. I did that one. I'm going to do that one. Yes, I'm doing that one. And your heart be far from God. But I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, if you really love Jesus, you will do what He says, or you don't love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Herein is love, you see. He said in verse 21, he that hath my commandments, and it's not enough to have the Bible. What are you going to do with the Bible? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Watch it now. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now think about that a minute. You want God to love you? Now see, we've cheapened that. We think, well, God just loves everybody. He may love everybody in the generic sense of wanting to save people's souls, but that verse, you know what that verse says? And if it means anything, it means what it says. Jesus said, if you'll love me, I'll love you back. Read it. And he says, if you'll love me, my Father will love you. Have you ever, and there's a lot of people that doubt God's love, have you ever thought God didn't love you? Well, you know, based upon the authority of the Word of God, if you'll love Jesus Christ, God promises to love you. And if you love Jesus Christ, He'll promise to love you back. People are so demented, they want love on a one-way street. They want a love where they're the getter and never the giver. And you know what? Jesus turns it around and says, fellas, you want God to love you? Well, then you need to love me. Man, what a blessing. But oh, we want to sing our songs about God loving us and ignore what He says. And I tell you what, that doesn't jive with the Word of God. He says in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. You see that? He will keep my words, the words in this book. Hey, look, how are you going to keep words? How are you going to love these words and keep these words if you're not even interested in them? That means this, you cannot love Jesus Christ without loving the Bible. The Word and the Word are inextricably linked. The Word that was made flesh and the written Word are together. You say, well, that's just a book. No, that's more than a book. The Holy Ghost is in this book. God is in this book. And if you love God, you'll love this book. And if you don't love God, you love Legos. Or Apple products. People love all kinds of things. Jesus said, you love me? Then you'll keep my words. You'll keep my commandments. His commandments are these words. Judas, not Iscariot, verse 22. He says, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? He said at the end of verse 21, Jesus did, I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know, this is all linked together, you see. We started with knowing God. And here's the thing, if you'll love God, he'll let you get to know him. Do you see that? If you love me, I'll love you and I'll manifest myself to you. You'll know more about me the more you love me. Because I'll show more of myself to you. And Judas says, how is that? How is that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus goes right back to the Word. If you want to know me, you'll put your life into this book. You'll put your life into what I said, Judas. And we'll make our abode with you in verse 23. That's why the next chapter talks about abiding in Christ, abiding in His words. Now I'm going to finish with this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's just take a test. If we went around and asked everybody, you love Jesus? I'm sure probably everybody, out of fear and intimidation, would say, yes. Or spirituality. Yes, I love Jesus. But then if we turned around and gave you a test saying, well, you can't love Jesus if you don't do what he says. Now, here's a list of what he said. Now, watch it. You know why people don't want to get to know the Bible? Because it tells you what he said. And if you find out what he said and you're not doing what he said, guess what? You don't love him at all. Well, I'm saved. I trust him. Yeah, you can be saved and not love the Lord. What commandments did he give? Well, let's see. He just gave them one. In the previous chapter, I believe I remember preaching on that. Do you remember that? In chapter 13, what did he say over there in chapter 13, verse 34? Watch it now. Watch it. He says in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you. You see that? That you what? That you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. So in other words, if you don't love each other, you can't love Jesus Christ. That's the great triangle God's made for man and has tripped him up so often. People think they have a good relationship with God and terrible relationship with people. It doesn't work that way. How can you love God whom you've seen if you can't love somebody you've not, whom you've not seen, if you can't love people that you have seen? He says, if you love me, you'll do what I said. And I told you to love each other. You know why we love each other? Because we love Jesus. And sometimes people, that's the long and short of it. And the reason that we don't love one another is because we don't love Jesus Christ. You know what else he commanded them? Look at chapter 16, verse 33. I'll just give these to be finished. I want you to love the Lord. If you love the Lord, you want to get to know him. You'll want to do something for him. Some greater works, you'll do what he said. John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Watch this. But be of good cheer. How's that for a commandment? Jesus said, I tell you what you guys need to do. You need to go around being cheerful. Preacher, how can I do that? You can do that because you love the Lord. I said, preacher, I don't have a lot to be cheerful about. I've said it before. Do it on credit. You do everything else that way. And you know you do. You just pull out that plastic and you don't think about it. Just be cheerful on purpose. I said, man, the Lord wants us to be cheerful. Jesus, I love you. It looks pretty bad around here, but hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. I'm going to be a good cheer. Why? You told me to be. And if I'm not of good cheer, I'm in disobedience to God. That hurts. If I'm not of good cheer, it means I don't love Jesus. Because he told me to do that. How about this? Acts 20, 35, here's another commandment. Jesus, he said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know what Jesus told him to do? He says, you guys need to give. Yeah, right. Look, we give to missions because we love souls. We give to missions because we love missionaries. But I tell you what, the underlying truth of all of it, if we give anything, it's because we love Jesus Christ and we just want to do what he says. If he says give it away, I'm giving it away. Because I love him and I just do it. If he tells me to stand on my head and bark like a seal, man, I want to do that. He said, yeah, if it's in there, I'll do it. Because I love him. You know, when you really love somebody, if they ask you to do something hard, you just do it anyway. Here's a command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lo, I've commanded you. Go and teach all nations. Ye shall, we heard it tonight already, ye shall be witnesses unto me. You know why we're not witnesses to other people? Yeah, preacher, it's just hard and it's discouraging and nobody cares and nobody listens. No, there's a bigger reason. Yeah, preacher, the reason that we don't witness to more people is because, man, we're just all busy and I got stuff to do and yeah, but there's a bigger reason. Preacher, look. The reason that I can't witness to people is because I just don't have my head wrapped around things good enough to talk to people. Yeah, but there's a bigger reason. And the reason that we have a church full of people tonight, but just a few that's told anybody about Jesus this week. It's because we don't love Him. And that's true. You look at the commands of Jesus Christ and you'll get something like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you love Jesus Christ, you will put Him first in your life. And the reason Jesus Christ is not first in your life is because you don't love Jesus Christ. You may belong to Him, but you don't love Him. You read those commands of Jesus Christ and you go down that list of what He says and you'll run into things like this. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know what they did to me. No. And as you would that men should do to you. And you know all those things I just mentioned as I went through just a really quick list in my head. Now watch it. Don't misunderstand what I'm going to say because I'll clarify it. Trust me. There's nothing I just told you tonight that Jesus commanded you that has anything to do with the way you dress or the way your hair is laying on your head. And if there was ever a preacher that believed that people ought to dress right and look right, you're looking at him. But we have had people that have dressed right and looked right and walked the line, and they didn't love Jesus Christ any more than a man on the moon. And all these commandments are nothing about that. Oh, there's plenty more commandments in the Bible. I'm not just narrowing it to these, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I said. And most of those things that He said get all the way down really deep into my heart. And we like to look at our lives. Listen, the reason I mention that, listen now. We like to look at our lives and say, I don't do that. And I don't go there. And I don't say those things. And I don't have this dirty stuff in my life. So I love God. And that's not true. We look at others to justify in our hearts that we're close to God when we really examine what He said. Maybe I don't love Him as much as I think I love Him. And I'm His disciple. If you love me, you want to know me? Jesus says, if you love me, don't you want to do something greater? If you love me, you'll just do what I told you to do.